The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
This is Box Score Heroes, a look at the headlines, the great moments, the numbers, and the love and nostalgia that make us baseball fans. Welcome to the only baseball power rankings you need. A quick look back at the week in baseball. Power is power, and here is how we rank it. Hey everybody, it's Ken Apsock, and welcome back to Box Score Heroes and the only baseball power rankings you need. Let's get right to it. No need to wait. Number five, celebrate safely. Rules are rules, kids, and they're often there for your protection. To help give us the gift of baseball this season, MLB instituted the rule that all celebrations must be touchless or something close to it. You have to at least give the appearance that you're trying to celebrate without touching from a safe distance. All right, so it's not ideal for a sport that is full of big explosions of joy and passion, but here we are. We're playing this very weird season. Then the Atlanta Braves turn this into something else on August 6th. Nick Markakis smacked a walk-off long ball on the first pitch of the bottom of the ninth inning to give Atlanta a win over Toronto. By the way, watch the clip. Chip Carey, grandson of Harry Carey, son of the great Skip Carey, not to be left out of the Carey announcing conversations. Chip Carey kind of predicted this. Markakis came through. But then the celebration home plate was something to behold. Surrounding their emotional leader around home plate, the Atlanta players put their hands in the air, shaking them as they leaped up and down while remaining 6 feet apart from Markakis. It looked like a joyous congregation being moved by the words of a preacher, and it proved that you can change the way you celebrate, but the spirit of victory will always come through. Be healed, my brothers and sisters, be healed. I love a walk-off home run, too. And when I grew up, and a lot of you out there might remember this, too, 80s, 70s, into the 90s, I don't remember when I first heard the term walk-off home run, walk-off hit. It seems to me, and you can check the history books in baseball, it seems to me this was like a mid to late 90s thing, maybe even a little bit later. I don't quite remember. I don't know why we didn't think of that, though. It just makes sense. And it is one of those things. It's like, I don't know, in the NFL, pick six. Just, it's a great description. And it just encompasses not just the action, but the feeling. Oh, pick six. You know, that just sounds like something you don't want to be a part of on the wrong end. But if you're on the right end, that's great. Walk-off hit. You're sending the team. It's definitely a walk-off. Markakis and the Braves are walking off winners. But I also think it's about sending the other team walking slowly, heads down to the showers. So it's like a Viking conquest as well as a reason to celebrate. And I do love the walk-off hits. They are truly exciting. And yeah, I was a little worried. What are we going to do? How's it going to look? Well, watch the clip. Watch the GIF that's been going around, or the GIF if you're still like me. It's really fun to watch. And again, baseball passion will find its way out. So that is number five. And now number four, 1980 Sundays. The Twins, the Blue Jays, the White Sox, the Rangers, the Phillies, the Mariners. All of these teams came into this season proudly sporting classic uniforms. And mostly, you're going to see them on Sundays. I remember writing about this for my Flag Sports column over the offseason, at the end of last season, when a lot of these new uniforms were being unveiled. And the Padres got all the hype, all the press, all the fanfare when they unveiled their return to brown. And I like them. I wasn't head over heels for the Padres uniforms like a lot of people, but now that I see them in action, yeah, they make sense. And one of the reasons I think I didn't take to the Padres uniforms as much as other people did immediately. One, I kind of liked where the Padres had gone with their uniforms over the last couple of years. I didn't mind the late 90s Padres uniforms, a little tinge of orange, not just the brown, which are, by the way, very late 90s, early 2000 uniforms, Diamondbacks, Periwinkle, Angels, Padres fit into that. But I love the classic 80s Padres uniforms. I do. So these ones definitely harken back to that. But There's something in my mind, though, that most of the early to mid 80s baseball uniforms are some of my least favorite as a fan. Now I'm a New York Yankee fan, and you know what? I love the tradition of the Yankees pinstripes. I really do. But I will admit, and this comes, I'm hesitant to admit this publicly in a baseball podcast, but in my quietest moments as a New York Yankee fan, I'm sometimes bored by putting the same uniform on every time I'm, say, controlling the team in MLB The Show. All right? You can go back to like 1913, 1920. There's some old New York Highlander kind of uniforms you can choose to play on MLB The Show. But other than that, unless you want to do some weird mix and match, do the batting practice jerseys, which was a look that popped up for a lot of teams in the late 90s, including the Dodgers that I just didn't like. Still not my favorite. But you can go to like 73 Yankees or 78 Yankees, little different feel. But again, I love the pinstripes. I'm a Yankee fan. I love the tradition. Recently, and I'm taking it on my journey as an MLB The Show franchise owner in a video game world, I took over the Diamondbacks. I left my contract with the Yankees. I previously been with the Yankees, got fired, took over the Cubs, went back to the Yankees. Now I'm with the Diamondbacks. I'm not a huge Diamondback fan in real life. I like the organization. I'm still bitter about 2001. But the Diamondbacks have all these choices, and it's wonderful. So I love when a team can stick with a certain look for a long time. Dodgers, Yankees, two of the teams. Orioles, I'll say, other than some kind of wild scheme, color schemes at times, the same. A's, same thing. And they have a history of some bold uniforms in their past, so it kind of ties in them. But going to the 80s, before I get too far down the path, going to the 80s, I love variety uniforms, but I hated most of the uniforms in the 80s. It was the era of cyan. What's cyan? It's the most boring of blues. It's cyan was the color of your load screen on computers, PCs, Commodores back in the day, where you had a big flashing cursor asking you to type up some code so you can load up a computer. Cyan was just the most generic of colors to me. And I didn't like them in my baseball uniforms. Now, powder blue is probably more accurate. I'm not a color wheel expert here. But go back to the 80s. Brewers were in that. Even the Cardinals, their uniform had that color. The Braves and the aforementioned teams. The Phillies, though they kept having a good Philly look, but their road uniforms were that color. The Rangers, the Blue Jays, the Twins. I didn't like those twin uniforms. I don't think it's a coincidence that when the Twins really changed up their uniforms in 1987 to a classic pinstripe, they won the World Series. All right, I think it's the powerful uniforms. All this to say, when the Padres were getting all the fanfare for their new uniforms, a lot of other teams announced, hey, we're going to have some fun and some good alternate uniforms that go back to our past. The Rangers, powder blue. The Phillies, we'll bring up those 1980s road Phillies uniforms. Pete Rose's haircut would be proud. And then the White Sox were like, yeah, we're leaning into our softball uniforms. All right, it's not the early 80s collared softball uniforms or the shorts of the late 70s. By the way, this week was the anniversary, as is every year this week, but every anniversary of those Chicago White Sox shorts uniforms. But they went with that classic 80s logo, right? The 80s Sox logo with the 8-bit looking graphic of a batter on a Sox, just says Sox hat. I didn't like those. I don't like those. I love when the White Sox switched up in the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, about time Frank Thomas showed up, those uniforms. Classic uniforms. I was against it. But all that to say, as we go through the power rankings, I got to tell you, 1980 Sundays are working for me in Major League Baseball this year. I don't know why. Maybe it is that sometimes that sense of nostalgia, that feeling of nostalgia, that even if it's, say, a band you didn't like in high school, when they were popular on the radio, you're like, not my kind of band. But then you hear it now and you immediately are transported back to that era. And whether or not you love Nirvana or Pearl Jam or Stone Temple Pilots now, for me, I'm like, oh, yeah, I dig it. Back then, I didn't like them as much. Now, it reminds me of my youth. I think that's kind of the feeling for me as a fan with these uniforms. What do you guys think? I want to know. Do you like these alternate uniforms? I love the Brewers kind of switching back to a little bit more classic look. I like a lot of that. I really do. And even, like I said, even though I'm a Yankee fan, I don't know what the Yankees would switch to. You'd have to, like, a vested uniform with, like, navy blue sleeves. It'd be really weird. It'd be really weird. But I do love what's going on with these classic uniforms, and that's why it's number 4 on our power ranking. But still, cyan, ugh. Number 3, first place by percentage. Congratulations to the Miami Marlins. They returned to the field, mostly healthy, and roared into first place. Oh, sure, they wrapped Sunday with 7 wins, and the Braves have 11. So technically, the Marlins are like behind them, but they're listed first on the standings in the old newspaper, if you still get your standings from the newspaper or online. Doesn't matter. The Marlins are here. They're where they are. And most of the conversation this week, when you just swung by MLB Tonight or Baseball Tonight or a baseball website, most of the conversation this week was around the surging no-name Marlins making their way in a short season where stranger things can happen and wild things can happen. Jesus Aguilar, Francisco Cervelli, Brian Anderson, always a prospect but never a star, and a cast of Who's That and Don't Know Hems, and a pitching staff that looks like a computer-generated roster on the aforementioned MLB The Show, are playing at a level beyond their worth, and that's part of the fun of this season. And also, not for nothing, but their manager, Donnie Baseball, set a club record this week with his 282nd win as a Marlins manager, as the Marlins manager. And that's the most in club history. Big name managers like Joe Girardi. Remember that before he took over the Yankees? Manager of the year at the Marlins. Jim Leland, smoking a cigarette on the way to a World Series win in 97. Jack McKeon, Trader Jack, coming down from the stands, taking over for Jeff Torborg and getting them to the 2003 World Series win over my Yankees. Oh, Josh Beckett, I remember that year. Girardi, Leland, McKeon, they've made their way in and out of the Marlins clubhouses over the years, but Don Mattingly has quietly outlasted them all. Now, a World Series ring hasn't found its way to Don's sweet swinging hands, but he has brought a steady presence to an organization that has gone through many, many seasons of change. I don't think, as we talked a little bit on Behind the Bag on Friday this past week with Tom Dagnino and I don't think the Marlins are going to be in the World Series. I don't think they're going to win it. But it's possible, weirdly possible, that they could make that round-robin eight-team kind of playoff set. I know it's not actually round-robin, but you know, how's that feel? I think they could do it. It's just a weird enough type of thing to think that it might happen this season. And I'd be rooting for it. Derek Jeter, one of my all-time favorite players. Mattingly's up there. Gary Carter, my favorite player over there with the Mets and the Expos. But Mattingly, Jeter, definitely. Mariano Rivera, those are the Yankees that I absolutely love through my life as a baseball fan. And it's weird to see Jeter running these Marlins. And also, it's weird to see Jeter kind of ranking over Mattingly, right? How's that feel for Donnie Baseball? Every time I see or think about that arrangement, I don't think of, two great Hall of Fame players in new jobs and new careers within baseball. I think of 1995 when Jeter got called up for a cup of coffee, and it was Mattingly's last year as a Yankee player, last year as a player, unfortunately. I think of that. I think, does Mattingly ever look up to the owner's box, CEO box, and think, hey, that's a kid that played a couple weeks in 95. I remember that. Must be weird. But regardless, I'm kind of rooting for my former Yankees retired down there in Florida with their new jobs, their retirement jobs. I'm rooting for them. The Miami Marlins, the ceiling, they'll probably hit it. Once they actually play a lot of the games, I get it. But it's fun. It's fun to watch right now. And it definitely was one of the more talked about things this week. Number 2, 21. What a wonderful age to be, and what a wonderful age to be while being the hottest home run threat in the game. As the week closed, Fernando Tatis Jr., who, of course, his father once famously slugged two grand slams in the same inning off the same pitcher, Porcello Park, in 1999, is leading the National League in home runs after absolutely launching some bombs in four straight games. His blast on Sunday had an in-flight movie. He is tied with Aaron Judge for tops in baseball. In 84 games last season, Tatis Jr. tallied 22 home runs before injuries robbed him of more. So this power shouldn't be surprising, but perhaps it's his position, shortstop, and his place in the batting order, mostly leadoff, that makes his home run totals seem slightly surprising. Maybe it's just me. I had that view of, he's a high average speedster at shortstop. Great. And I understand where the era we're in, launch angles and whatnot, but it's catch me by surprise. But then you have to look a little closer. Tatis Jr. is an Ozzie Guillen out there at shortstop. Won the 85 Rookie of the Year by, slapping one home run if he was lucky. Tatis Jr. checks in at 6'3 and 217 pounds. His dad, by the way, who finished, I believe, with 113 career home runs and was a home run threat during his time. Every time he came up, you'd think about that. You think about the two grand slams, him cranking one down the left field line. He could do it, but his dad was 5'11 and 185 pounds. So this isn't a power flash in a pan for Tatis Jr. He has arrived. He's exciting. He was exciting to watch last year. And look, those Padres in their beautiful Browns are making some waves, getting some of the conversation, and they're getting people behind him. I would love to see San Diego go on another run. It's a good city. I think it's a good enough baseball city. It's also the city in which I saw my first ever major league game in 1988 at Jack Murphy Stadium against the Pirates, 4-3 win by the Padres. Chris Brown single up the middle to end it. I think, though, I wouldn't consider San Diego a big market team for baseball. They are often overlooked. They're big enough, but they're overlooked by a lot in the conversation. And there's always that kind of potential, right? And they're the type of team that when someone goes to them, like Manny Machado, don't forget he's on the team, right? Eric Hosmer. When someone, a player like that, or those types of guys go to a team like the Padres, there's always that, come on, admit it, that little reaction of, really? There? They went there? Now, I have a lot of fun down to San Diego when I go down there for San Diego Comic-Con International. It's a great time. I love that downtown. Love that park. I've never seen a game at Petco, but I have partied at Petco, and it's a great stadium. And I love walking by it. I love the hotels. I always try to get a hotel over that side if I can at Comic-Con because you can always pass by the stadium and it's so great and it's so glamorous and big and the whole downtown is kind of based around it. I think it would be good for that city. It might not be this year, but I think 2021. Get ready for those San Diego Padres. Number one on the only baseball power rankings that matter is the voice of Melanie Newman. On August 4th, Melanie Newman made her mark on Orioles history by becoming that organization's first female play-by-play announcer. One of only a few women to hold that position in the history of the game, her road to the show hasn't been too different from the player she's covering, calling the action of the dusty, rusty fields of the low minors and earning her way forward each time. Newman likes to focus on finding the personal stories in each player, saying they're human beings and they're just like everybody else out there. You can't relate to being able to hit 300 or have a sub-2 ERA in the bigs, but they all had to go home when COVID hit. Telling those stories and telling them justly, that's become the biggest life passion of mine, even if it's the small stuff. Good for her. Good for her. Along with Giants coach Alyssa Knacker, Newman is helping to change the perception of who actually knows, loves, and belongs in and around baseball. There's no reason that other great female voices can't be in those booths. This great sport would die on the vine if its fan base was forced to be so narrowly focused. The love of baseball should be a universal experience, and here's to hoping the sound of that love continues to become universal as well. I always like to speak from my own personal point of view and my own personal growth as a fan. When we talked about Alyssa Knacker a couple weeks ago here on the show, I admitted to just you, sometimes I grew up in an era. I grew up in an era where I'm a Star Wars fan, and there was at a lot of these big toy companies, Hasbro, Mattel, whatnot, there was boys' toys and girls' toys. And so it was with sports. No one instilled it into my brain, by the way. My dad and mom, not huge sports fans, but they definitely didn't tell me, you can't like, or a girl can't like baseball and, you know, you can't like gymnastics in the Olympics. And I remember in 1992 watching the Olympics. It was pretty big tradition in our house. My dad loved those kind of sports. He loved that kind of competition, track and field. My mom loved the gymnastics, ice skating, all that kind of stuff. But we would gather around and watch gymnastics. I remember the 1992 team. I remember for the Russians, it was Tatiana Gutsu and the big Russian team coming in. And we were rooting. We're Russian. Have a lot of Russian in our background, in our ethnic makeup. We're rooting for those Russians, but also you got the Americans, right? And 96 was the Carrie Strug year, right? So that came a little bit later. But she was like a rookie on the 92 team. There was no point where I thought I shouldn't be watching gymnastics or rooting for gymnastics. But there was kind of a weird feeling of like, oh, but, you know, that's not for the boys, even though men compete in gymnastics and are wonderful at it, right? You just don't think about that. And so what it is with baseball. I talked about that young girl on my Little League team growing up when we talked about Alyssa Knacker. How it was considered weird. While I understand playing the game might be a little bit different than calling the game, I can follow you down that path a bit, maybe just a bit, but I understand it shouldn't be looked at as weird in the booth. Jessica Mendoza joining ESPN a few years ago. Yeah, all right, maybe you don't like her style, and I think down the line that's fair to say, but to not see that she knows what she's talking about on there. Someone who's competed at a high level in softball, which I could never compete at in any level. And her knowledge of the game and what she says, what she understands, it's there. So I love that this is what's going on in baseball, that there's going to be more of this. There's going to be more of this, and get ready for it. And I think a lot of you are ready for it and excited for it. I think Melanie Newman will inspire someone else, and there's been others along the way. She'll inspire someone, and there'll be more. There's no reason to think that the gentlemen calling the games know the game more than them. A color commentator? All right, again, I'm supporting Jessica Mendoza as an ESPN Sunday Night Baseball color commentator. But even if you want to go down that route, a color commentator should be an ex-player. It should be Tony Kubek. All right. Fine. But how does that translate, and how does that still hold water when you're talking about a play-by-play announcer? It's a baseball fan and a professional broadcaster giving you the action and calling the game they love, and I'm all for it. Kudos and cheers to Melanie Newman. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, your calls and some other moments we didn't talk about. And, well, looking ahead to next week in Major League Baseball. It's the only baseball power rankings you need right here on Box Score Heroes.
What's going on, guys? I'm Alex.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Black Series Rebels, and we're going to be performing live August 16th at the Flappers Comedy Club in their virtual main room, and tickets are only $15, and this is an amazing way to support comedy clubs like Flappers that rely heavily on live events during this hellscape of a pandemic. Steve, if the people want to get tickets at home, what should they do?
All they got to do is go to www.flapperscomedy.com. That's www.flapperscomedy.com. And if they want discount tickets, all they got to do is follow us on social media at BLK Series Rebels.
For
for the best in pop culture art, sleek designs, and some of the best brand logos around. Shop G9 Design on TeePublic and represent the electrifying art of Janine Bryce with a shirt, wall art, and more. Go to TeePublic.com/user/G9Design. And while you're searching the G9 Design storefront, check out Janine's show, It's a Wonderful Podcast, available right here on Anchor and wherever podcasts are found. Why We Love Star Wars by Ken Napsok is a collection of little love letters to the greatest saga ever told, and a personalized copy can be yours today. Just go to KenNapsok.com and choose the Shop tab. There you'll find options to purchase exclusive poster art designed by movie trivia Schmodown star Janine Bryce, a signed copy of Why We Love Star Wars, and collector Napsok file cards. Already have a copy of the book but still want an author signature? Then check out the book plate package. Get a signed book plate sticker and a 3D printed keychain sent straight to your spaceship. Go to KenNapsok.com for pricing and shipping information. Welcome back to the only baseball power rankings you need here on Box Score Heroes, part of the baseball podcast feed, Box Score Heroes, by me, Ken Napsok, and Morning Drive Media. All right, let us take some of your calls. We got a couple calls coming in here, and here's the deal. On the Power Rankings show, I want to hear from you. What are your favorite moments of the past baseball week? To do this, you just have to go to Anchor and call into the show. Use the Anchor app directly on your phone. It's like making a phone call. You got about 59 seconds to get in there and get to it. Let us take some calls today. Here, I got two in the hopper. We had a great one last week from our friend Pete Rich. Now we got Eric Monroe, who's always a great caller over my Game of Thrones podcast, Casterly Talk. What do you got for us this week, Eric?
Hey, Ken. So my moment of the week just happened. My Braves went to the ninth inning, 3-3 against the Toronto Blue Jays. And Nick Markakis, who originally opted out of the season but then opted back in, just hit a walk-off home run. It was glorious.
All right. Yeah, we talked about that, but we didn't talk about kind of the fact that it was Nick Markakis. And Eric is a big Atlanta Braves fan, and what a moment for them. We were talking more, a little bit more about the celebration, but let's talk about Markakis here. Here's what I love about him, man. Markakis, he's been around a bit, man. 2006, don't forget it, a couple hundred RBI years for the Orioles. And I don't think he has ever quite hit it with the Braves in terms of those numbers, but it's not always about the numbers, right? It is sometimes about the spirit. And without a doubt, he is one of the spiritual leaders on a team that's kind of full of young stars. Then they're just coming off. They got the injury of Mike Soroka. That's devastating. The Braves are kind of reeling, and Markakis decides to come back after opting out. No one can blame him for opting out, but he comes on back first game back as a starter. He goes into the ninth inning, first pitch, home run, his 189th career home run. Like I said, his 2018 season, played in 162, drove in 93, batted 297, 806 OPS, a 116 OPS plus, if you like those kind of numbers. 14 home runs, his career highs in 2007 with the Orioles, 23 home runs where he drove in 112 that year. So he's not a home run threat. Again, not about the stats, but he does have 2,357 or so hits there, not counting some action on Sunday. So he's just one of those guys, man. He's a baseballer. He's just a baseball player. You know what I mean? And I was happy to see it. And whatever reasons that, you know, he decided to walk away, great. Whatever reasons that he'd come back, wonderful. And it's needed in that clubhouse. And if Atlanta goes on to any kind of success, I think you can look at this type of game and this type of week following the big injury to one of your best players. It's one of those rallying points, and that is why it's important. And yeah, that's exactly what we got here, man. You give us a call. You call in and let us know what your moments are. And I don't care. Be a homer for your team, all right? In fact, I'm a Yankee fan, and we're about to talk about the Yankees.
Hey, Ken, it's Ferris here. Longtime fan, to be honest. The one thing I want to talk to you about this week in baseball is it's kind of sound kind of morbid, but you know it's actually kind of a blessing in disguise. It was Giancarlo Stanton's injury to our New York Yankees. I was thinking of they should bring up Clint Frazier to see what the kid got, because I remember when we traded for him and we traded Andrew, and was it Andrew Miller to Indian to Cleveland? I think it was Andrew Miller. So when we got him in that trade, I've always been excited for the kid, and I heard he teared it up last year in AAA, and this injury kind of clears up a spot for him. I'm actually kind of happy that it's going to create that spot, and I want him to come up in the majors. So that's the one thing I'm actually kind of happy of. It's not that I'm happy that Giancarlo got injured. It's that I'm happy that the injury created a spot for Clint Frazier, because I actually want to know what Clint Frazier wants. I want to know what Clint Frazier can do in the big leagues.
We want to know, too, Ferris Mathana. We want to know, too. So here's the deal, man. Yeah, this is, you got, I'm bummed. I'm a Yankee fan, unapologetic here in this podcast feed. All right, I'm not working for MLB or something like that. I can lay it on the line. Really disappointed, not disappointed in Stanton, but just disappointed that Stanton's hurt. You know, this is a guy who has struggled to stay healthy, and he was looking really good, and I think it was going to be exciting. Stanton and Judge, I don't know if we'll ever get it to the degree that we thought we were going to get it as Yankee fans, of them just being this dynamic duo leading the charge. You have to look towards silver linings. And Clint Frazier, I think he's a good player, man. And he gets the opportunity. Now, he's not up yet. As of right now, at the time of this recording, he's not up. He was up at the beginning of the Yankees season. He never actually appeared in a game. And now he's back to that, alternate training site or whatever they call it there. So, yeah, hasn't actually appeared in the game. But, look what he's got. 2017, 134 at-bats. Bats 231, 4 home runs, 17 RBIs. Learning the game there, right? 2018, only 34 at-bats. But last year, 225 at-bats. 267, we'll take it. 12 home runs, 38 RBIs, OPS plus 111, OPS at 806, slugging 489, on base 317. Yeah, you want to be a little higher there, but he played, and a team racked by injuries last year. He was one of the reasons we were able to stay afloat for, you know, as long as we were able to. And one series, one pitch, one trash can bang away, I'm kidding, from a World Series berth. I do love Clint Frazier. Only 24. I think it's easy, especially when you see players like Acuna and Tatis Jr. swinging and making headlines at 2021. Juan Soto, let's not forget, too. A lot of young players. It is easy to look at 24 as, well, he had a shot as a prospect. I think Clint Frazier has a future with the Yankees. He's definitely a future in baseball. I hate to see a player get hurt, but as baseball fans, we all know it. We all know it. It's built into the tradition of baseball. Lou Gehrig, Wally Pipp, there. It's a Yankee tradition as well. You look for those opportunities. You look for new players to show up and make an impact when you least expect them. Does that necessarily mean it lasts long? Look, again, as a Yankee fan, Mattingly, 1990, down with a back injury. Kevin Moss, the savior of the Bronx. All right, that didn't last that long. Not Kevin's fault. You need a brother in the Yankee system too, Jason Moss, the Moss brothers. Oh, I had many, many dreams in the early 90s thinking the Moss brothers were going to save the Yankees. Didn't happen, of course. But that season, Moss hitting those home runs, filling in for Mattingly, it brings you to hope. It brings you hope out of despair as a baseball fan. And this could be the case here. We still got Aaron Judge. We're still looking good. I still like our chances. But come Monday, Tuesday, some point this week, Clint Frazier, Ferris, might join the team, and we might actually see what he can do. And that's the one thing about this season. That is the one thing about this season. You don't know. It's almost like a weird long spring training that will end in a World Series. It's a chance to reset for next year. We like it. We're even doing that with my fantasy baseball team because we're not competing this year as a fantasy league, the league that I've been in since 1999. When it was like draft Tatis next year, he hit 2 grand slams. He's going to be the best. We took a pause as a league, but we're still tracking our players and we're looking at me, my co-owner Corey. We're texting Trent Grisham. Like, yeah, we like this. We like this outfielder. We have him for $11. Could be a sleeper next year. So it's weird. We're, as a fantasy baseball team, you even get to kind of reset. And it's almost like it's not real, but it counts, but it doesn't. It's a weird season. It's a weird season. So, hey, Stanton down, maybe Frazier up. We'll see what's going on. Thank you for the call, Eric. Thank you for the call, Ferris. I love hearing from all of you out there. Some other moments we haven't talked about yet, couple on the, on my mind. Joe Adell's four-base error. Did you see this one? Nick Solak of the Rangers was hit a line drive deep into right, and it hit the glove of Joe Adell of the Anaheim Angels and then popped out and went over the wall. Solak was first at first credited with a home run. It would have been his first of the year before Adell was charged with a four-base error later in the game. That's disappointing. You're sitting around for a couple innings thinking, I finally got off the schneid, hit my first home run. Oh, no. But hey, what are you going to do? It's very clear. It wasn't even close. It wasn't even like Adell was jumping over the wall and hit it. He had a few feet between him and the wall, but at least it wasn't his head. Of course, this makes you think of the Jose Canseco moment and the head home run, but not quite that. So, Joe Adell, don't worry. You might be on some blooper reels for a few years, but hey, at least your name will be remembered. What about that Astros A's brawl? No touching. Ramon Laureano gets hit twice. Former Astro came over 2017. He was yelling at one of the Astros coaches there. And you don't know. There could be some history there. There could have been some heat between them in the past, heat between the organization. Who knows? But also, he was a little upset about being plunked twice. And not a lot of people like the Astros. A lot of people have been rooting for Jose Altuve's collapse this week. I've seen a lot of clips online, a lot of tweets. Altuve's collapsing and it's great. Hey, that's where we are. They did what they did. A lot of people think they're getting away with it. I think there were some other factors. I think they had to be careful of who knew what other teams were doing something similar to the Astros, not just talking about the Red Sox. And yes, I'm a Yankee fan. And looking at you two Dodger fans, you never know. So I think baseball had to be careful what they did. You can't strip the titles, kick everyone out of the league, but it's still a hot button conversation and we're seeing it in play every week. Last week, it was Joe Kelly and the pout face that won over a city. Now, it is the brawl for all with the Astros and A's. I think Laureano will probably get a big suspension there, not just for the fight, but just for breaking some protocol. And look, I don't think it's going to happen, but God forbid, because the Cardinals got more testing. The Pirates and Cardinals are going to be out a little bit there while the Cardinals go for more COVID-19 related testing. Just imagine if suddenly Astros and A's come down with some positive tests. I don't think they will, but then you look at this fight, not going to be good. So those are some of the big moments this week. We also had Spencer Howard for the Phillies making his debut. Looked okay at times, got his first major league strikeout. That's always good. And he was wearing those retro 80s Phillies uniforms. There you go. You're always going to look at that video clip of your first major league strikeout and it's in that uniform. What do you think about those retro uniforms? I do want to know. Call in. We'll do special shows during the week if we get enough calls. But also next week, next Monday morning, you will hear the only baseball power rankings you need. And that is it. Those are the only baseball power rankings you need for the third week of 2020. Yes, it is. Stay tuned to Box Score Heroes all through the season for more rankings, baseball card openings, and reactions to the best moments, big and small, during the season. Follow us on Twitter at Box Score Heroes and subscribe on YouTube. Behind the Bag with Tom Dagnino and myself is live on the YouTube channel every Friday. Occasionally we might miss one depending on work schedules, but look for us there. I'm Ken Napsok. You can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to KenNapsok.com for all the information on the other shows I do and pick up my book, Why We Love Star Wars. I have a few left from my own store. If you want to get a personalized copy for me, go to KenNapsok.com for that as well. That's it. Those are the only baseball power rankings you need, and we'll see you next week.